an ISB Audio production.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Panther Podcast Studios.
Tucked away in a small corner of the ISB library, we spotlight great things and great individuals from the ISB community.
Let's get to know today's guest. This morning, we have with us Anthony Giles.
Good morning, Julia. Morning, Michael.
It's wonderful to have you here.
Great to be here.
So, Anthony, you're like the director of... tell us what your actual title is officially.
This fall, director of arts and community activities.
Okay. And you said this fall, so there must have been a change.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this question then. So you have this office. It's got a couple entrances. It's got a bunch of offices in there. It's got a large working area, secretaries, people milling about in a conference room. Can you tell us in brief, like, what's going on in there?
So the things that are contained in that office are all programs that belong under the umbrella of community activities. And so historically, there was no place, but rather, you know, somebody raised their hand to run a program. So Helen Weir would be an example of that. Mm-hmm. About 400 kids involved in the after-school dance program here. And if you went back a decade, that there really wasn't a place on campus for her to set up shop, be able to answer questions with parents, help with registrations. And over the last decade, we've gone from sort of a part-time coordinator over all of that and an office space that's contained more and more of those programs to really a full-fledged space that's kind of at the center of campus where parents and students can come in and ask questions, register for programs, and see what's on offer. A year ago, the arts office, which was my job the last 4 years, mm-hmm. to oversee the curricular and extracurricular activities that are non-athletic, and then the curricular arts programs. We moved over to share that space, thinking that there was a lot of commonality, especially between the extracurricular programs, and I think that is true. And it's been exciting this second year to bring some of those together. Again, back to dance, is I had already been working the last 4 years to support the, you know, physical space needs for the after-school dance program, working with our teachers to share spaces after school. And so Helen and I already had that relationship. For a decade, I've worked with Angela Cole with the after-school music program, lessons for about 180 plus students in the same capacity, but also as a music teacher a few years back, looking for more opportunities for kids after school to supplement the programs that were happening during the day. And then again, use of spaces. She and I developed sort of a celebration of the learning in her program with a festival at the end of the year, mm-hmm. modeled after some that we had seen at other schools. So fast forward to this fall. Now I oversee those programs as well as the sports programs that run through the community activities. And how that supplements our school programs is, think Scholastic, are all programs where we pay coaches and kids who are enrolled here have an opportunity to, you know, work on soccer, mm-hmm. Or non-athletic things like the chess team is new for ISS. But that's part of being a student here. And we have league membership with BSAC and also with IASIS, out of which those programs are preparing to compete. To supplement those programs and to align them as much as possible, we try to offer, especially for our younger Panthers, programs that will build towards those. So the Scholastic programs start at U11 and in some cases only high school. All of the community activities start at, like, you know, pre-K-2, so four-year-olds. Y'all come approaches, mm-hmm. like with League, where anyone is welcome and we're trying to give equal playtime. And then expanded opportunities where we've been able to fit those in, where kids can get even more of those. So mm-hmm. 6 or 7 years ago, we didn't really have, other than IASIS and BSEC seasons for soccer, we really didn't have anything for kids that wanted to get better at soccer and work year-round at that. And so we've worked towards that.
So you were talking a lot about spaces and also the little Panthers, the young elementary kids. So really, what's it like working with all three divisions? You have elementary school, middle school, high school. all within your office, doing events and activities. For example, your office is also part of the annual celebrations like Peace Day and other things that bring the whole school community together, K through 12, pre-K through 12.
Yeah, I mean, I think my vision as an educator maybe aligns with what I'm doing now, in that wherever I've been involved, back in Seattle, I worked at a high school, but we worked to develop programs that would, say, bring elementary choirs into our music program and have some kind of festival. So that's been a passion of mine from the beginning of the time I was teaching. So on our campus, we have that unique opportunity that all three divisions are housed in the same place. And I think we've made great gains towards sort of bringing it together as one community, but I still think there's a lot of room for growth. And so in the arts role, I've worked hard to try to create strands or connections between the K through 12 curricular programs. I think that probably the best example of that currently is our visual arts team meets regularly across three divisions, has lots of examples of collaborative projects which involve our littlest to our biggest Panthers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great model. I'd like to see that, you know, happen even more than it is now in music. And I'd like to see that happening in our film program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we have some middle school offerings and some high school offerings, but connecting those more, is there an opportunity in elementary school for kids to be involved in some type of video production? Likewise, in our design tech programs, there's a lot of talk about trying to give kids coding access even in elementary school and things like that. So in the arts, it was funny, at a leadership workshop a couple weeks ago, there was kind of laughter when she said, why do we group the arts together in most departments around the school? Ha ha. And what she was meaning is that the pedagogical goals are vastly different in a visual arts class than they are in a performing arts class. Mm-hmm. And we collect them together maybe because they're arts. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's a creative element. But beyond that, I think probably it's more structural in schools that maybe we don't fit when they talk about reading in the content fields. Mm-hmm. And so it's more out of convenience. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the Department of Arts is a single teacher in one subject area. And so by grouping them, at least they have a group that meets together, right?
Right.
And so we have, again, at ISP, we have a lot of people involved in a lot of programs. And I see great gains for our kids by bringing like teachers together. So they have professional development opportunities to talk about, how are you doing that in the music classroom? What are you doing in an elementary movement class versus a high school movement class? Mm-hmm. Back to the, you know, what the umbrella of that office does is I see a blurring of the lines even into our after school activities. So lots of this last month, the first month on the job, has been examining what are the measurements we're using to make sure our programs are good and getting better. And oftentimes in extracurricular, we don't use the same tools that as teachers in the classroom, we have this whole array of measurements we use to look at best practice. Mm-hmm. And I believe that a kid that signs up for an after-school activity deserves that same kind of excellence or pedagogy, is that oftentimes that's where a kid is really thriving. And so we teach them well during the day. What are we doing after school, and the things that they're passionate about to make sure that the instruction is the best that it can be? How are we, you know, using survey tools to, get feedback from families about how we can do better at those things to serve their kids? Mm-hmm. So that's a long answer, but I think that there is a connection between all the things that happen in that office, most being project-based learning, in arts classes. A chance to bring multiple facets of maybe discrete learnings from other classes into one place. And that happens both in design tech, a visual arts classroom, and performing arts. And in all of our after-school activities, that's true. Mm-hmm. They're bringing things together. They're working with other kids.
Yeah, really building community through the different interests and different activities of all students.
So you do a lot of events, and there'll be a lot of students coming in. And so there's a lot of logistical stuff. Think of like the cultural convention and all that. And there's a lot of work that goes into it in advance. So I've always been kind of curious, like, so the night before or during the event, like, what keeps you up at night? What are you worrying about?
Well, if we've done our work in advance, and we have an incredible team down there with Kun M and Kun Kwong and Kun Venus and Kun Phong, if we've done our jobs well, then I actually the most relaxed time is when the event's going up.
And really? So you're up at night the week before the event?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right. And so the preparation is just key so that once we're rolling, mm-hmm. you can tweak things and adjust and respond thoughtfully because things come up and it's not mm-hmm. it is messy, right? But if you've laid the structures in place and you have a good team, then it's more about thoughtful responses to people and taking care of people. I really feel like our events are a great opportunity for us to welcome people to our campus and to heighten the experience that we're hosting. I feel very strongly that that's our call.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Really quick, if you had to kind of give a roses and thorns about your job overall, what are some of the highlights and then what would be one of the thorns?
Roses and thorns. I don't know that I would consider them thorns, but opportunities to grow.
Right.
Is we're in a people business, and so people come in passionately to advocate for their kids. And although we do our best to, I think, use objective measures, say, for instance, when placing students in a leveled swimming class, mm-hmm. right? But that objective set of measures with maybe multiple coaches involved doesn't always align with how a parent sees their own child.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to listen past the complaint to ultimately find a solution that serves that child the best
mm-hmm.
and allows the parents maybe to have an insight into how the decision was made.
Right.
And we don't always win those, right? And then the rosy colored part, I think, is just working with really great people in that office that are passionate about, trying to provide these great opportunities for kids. So thorns there would be, again, probably on the people end of things, is stressful times during registration mm-hmm. and being able to come alongside that as opposed to reacting. Really, really, mm. really always trying to use that filter of, why is it that we're here? And using that motto of, something that comes in through our door, whether we agree or not, is coming in to ask for help. And so our response should be, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
Not always easy to do if somebody comes in sort of, already bristling a little bit.
Right.
And then I don't know if this is a thorn either, but in the last month, most of the questions that I've been asking are about, can you tell me more about why we're doing it that way? All of these programs have grown organically. In terms of the community activities part of the job. And so you have everyone doing the best that they can, bringing along maybe practices that are maybe a decade or older,
mm-hmm.
And none of them are the same. And
right.
so we have different registration platforms. We basically are cash and carry, which harkens back to a time when that was probably the best way that we could run those programs was a cash system.
Mm-hmm.
And so my goal, the biggest changes I think we could offer the community is one registration platform where kids and parents can see all that's on offer
mm-hmm.
that has some mechanism to provide conflict resolution so that if they sign up for this on Wednesday, the system pops that back out. That won't mm-hmm. work.
Right.
Currently, people create those systems for themselves by over-enrolling and then asking for reimbursements because they've held a
wow.
spot for their kid. And so like last Monday, we did $1 million bought in cash all through a 1950s handwritten receipt system.
Nice.
Right?
Okay.
And so we have such, again, incredible people in those jobs. I just think if we could create some more efficiencies in the way that we deliver those programs, that would free people up to do even better work in terms of their service to people.
Right.
Looking at ways to make the programs better. Instead, we're counting cash and writing receipts, those kinds of things.
Right, so kind of streamlining.
Yeah, more family friendly. People don't even know the difference between a U11 team or a community activity team. And right. So it's really confusing. If you're a new family here, I feel for you yes. because it probably takes about a year to just figure out
the systems.
What is available.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. So if Lucas, as our new sports coordinator, fantastic, comes to us from Colorado, working with a program 10 times the size of our school. And so I really feel confident that he and I can move towards, again, some things that will make our systems for families easier.
So he's saying, why do you guys do it this way? Which is good.
Right.
He wrote a letter to his boss back in Colorado asking just some questions about the program that they're using. And
cool.
He shared her response, and that was one of the lines, you know, like, why are you doing
why?
It?
Why would you?
See, a million in bought and about 5% is siphoned off.
Yeah. You know? And so you talked about thorns, though. Like, I could be frustrated with that or, like, just that, well, that doesn't make any sense. But that all of those systems were created by people that were, again, trying to do the best that they could.
Yeah, meeting the need they had.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And maybe we didn't have the resources at that time because it was a person, again, that just raised their hand and said, I'll volunteer to help with mm-hmm. it. Right? Mm-hmm. So I think we're in a different place now, and that's the office was created for that. Like now, recognizing Sunday, we call that a ISB is not really open. Well, we have 10 programs with coordinators that are operating on Sunday. So when Mark DeVries and I talked, you know, a couple weeks ago, I said, we are open for business. Mm-hmm. And so what could we put in place to support those programs? B&G having a rotating crew on Sundays that does a final sweep so classes are ready for Monday morning. Publishing the nurses' emergency numbers so that any of those programs have access to emergency care if they need that. So those are happening, and right. that feels gratifying. So.
Yeah, so progress within the improvements overall, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So towards the end of our time here together, we usually like to have an interesting game called Buy, Sell, or Hold, where we give an idea and the guest has to tell us if that idea was a stock, would you buy that stock, would you sell it, or would you hold it?
And why?
Yes, and why?
Because the why is sometimes the best part.
Yeah. So Michael's going to start us off with the first buy, sell, or hold. Yeah,
I'm excited.
All right. So when you depart ISB, you know, God forbid, buy, sell, or hold the idea that they will name one of the performance buildings after you.
Wow.
Puts a little pressure with the ego on the line, doesn't
right,
it?
Yeah.
I don't know how to answer that.
Future
buy,
thinking.
Sell, or hold.
If it was me, I'd say buy because I figure, you know, everyone needs a good joke.
Yes.
Well, I answer that a couple ways. And so first of all, maybe I would hold that because I need a little bit more time to think.
Okay.
But none of these things are about me or the other people that are like, if I think that hopefully everybody on our team would answer that in the same way, that it's not about, you know, the person that's leading that.
Mm-hmm.
If a building was named after somebody, I hope that would be evidence that they were selfless in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal isn't the building. Mm. So thus the complicated answer.
Right.
I hope that would be evidence that we made some progress in some of the things we've been talking about this morning. But that's not important to me.
All right. I'm going to go Faculty Follies will make a comeback in 2020. Buy, sell, or hold.
He's a thinker.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got this dead air time. I feel like I got to fill, you know, so it's stressing me out.
Yeah. No, I would say hold because I believe that a reinvestment in that particular stock might bear some different fruit than we've had in the past. So I think we brought that back a few years ago, hearkening back to, oh, this was a great thing that we used to do. And sometimes things have a natural sort of shelf life and maybe it's time to tweak them or, you know, like try something new. With the idea that we can't just keep adding things at our school, it's sometimes good to take things off so that we can do the things that we're doing better. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With that in mind, already I've had a couple conversations this fall about some type of either, you know, artist and lecture series. And what I like about that, if you look at universities that use that model, that could be one a year, that could be 10 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not pressure to always do this big event,
right.
But if, for instance, a few teachers shared a recital, you could put probably a 30-minute program together that would be nice. I love when our teachers are up in front of our kids taking risks. I think that's such a magical thing into education is when we're doing as well, right? Not just talking about the teaching, but rather showing them. And so I believe something, maybe a morphed version of that, could have some new life and maybe even be a vehicle for us raising funds or awareness about, say, After the Wave or some other, you know, mm-hmm. arts-centered organization. And so more to come on that.
Okay.
All right. Okay. A different tract here. By Sour Hole, the idea that ISB's head of school, Dr. Davies, will make a cameo onstage appearance playing House of the Rising Sun on guitar for the 2020 high school graduation.
That's a great investment because I'm absolutely certain that will
yes.
happen sometime.
So you're a buy on that.
Yeah.
A big buy.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like probably holding, Microsoft stock.
Yes.
Is, not only can I count on that,
but I
trust that will come back in new and more exciting versions okay. each year.
And we don't have to comment on whether it'll be any good.
Yeah. Right. It's yeah. just
we're just going to leave that out of the conversation.
And I'm pretty sure that will happen in a venue that has food available.
Mm, absolutely.
Leave nice. It with
them. Right. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Anthony. It's been wonderful talking with you about all the activities and arts and sports that go through your office here at ISB.
Thanks, Julia. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Panther Pod. We look forward to talking with you again soon.